Hi, everyone. Welcome to Flock Talk. I'm Aaron Morgan.
And I'm Jordan Sloggett.
And we work for the farmer members of the Ontario Sheep Farmers Organization.
This week, we're excited to have Dr. Paul Loomis, Livestock Nutrition College Research Professor at the University of Guelph, joining us. Dr. Loomis is known for his extensive research in sheep nutrition and management practices.
Welcome, Paul. Thanks for joining us on Flock Talk.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Will you tell us a bit about yourself? How'd you get your start in sheep research?
Well, so actually my background is in dairy cattle nutrition. That's what I did my master's and PhD in. And I came here actually to Ridgetown working in swine nutrition. And we started around 2010, we started a sheep production course. I didn't teach it. Someone else was teaching it. And he wanted to get involved with some sheep research for the students to do. And because I had more experience with research, he got me involved in it. And I just kind of fell in love with it. It was just a lot of fun doing that work. And so it kind of grew from there. So when the opportunity came that instructor retired, I jumped into the sheep class so I could teach sheep production class and started getting more and more involved in the sheep nutrition research.
Amazing.
We understand that the Ridgetown campus where you work has a research flock of sheep. Can you tell us a little about that flock that you've developed and your research goals with these sheep?
Sure. Yeah. So somewhere around 2014, I wanted to do a preliminary study on ewes. And so I bought 8 ewes in and did this project. And I thought before that I had to bring in market lambs all the time for the trials. And it was difficult just with the health status issues and so forth, bringing that in. So I decided just to build a flock up from those 8 ewes. So now I have about 50 ewes that I've built up to, and I can use them for research now. I can use the lambs for research. And also, of course, we use them for teaching, both in the ag program and in the veterinary technology program as well.
And what is your research focus when you're working with those ewes, particularly in the area of sheep nutrition?
So lately, actually, what I've been working on is in 2018, actually, I just had this kind of idea one time to try bringing in an electronic sow feeder from the pig barn. I just kind of wondered how that would work. So just the basic premise of it is that every sow would have its own ear tag, a special radio frequency ID tag, RFID tag. So when the sow goes in, it recognizes her and gives her the allotted feed that she's allowed to have. And one of the challenges we always have with feeding any animal in a group pen is that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, because there's always competition. Like, we try to spread the bunks out, but there's still always going to be some of that. And so I just kind of wondered, I wonder how it'd work. And so at that time, actually, I approached Ontario Sheep and the company that makes them, and they both generously, we got some money put together, and I bought a feeder. And I turned it into kind of a project with my class, with my small ruminant production class and with my ruminant nutrition class, where we would sit and observe the animals, watch what they're doing, so we could make adjustments, because, of course, sheep aren't pigs. And so we could adjust the feeder and adjust how things work. And we got to the point now where I don't have hard data, because I do have 2 feeders, actually. Now I went and bought another feeder, but I don't have the replicates and the project to do that. But I'm fairly confident. I can tell you in the last, well, since probably 2019, I haven't had a case of pregnancy toxemia in the flock, because I can identify it ahead of time and be on top of it a lot quicker. My body condition scores are very even in my sheep. So I have a lot of anecdotal data that it's working. And so I actually applied to an Ontario Agri-Food Research Initiative pilot and demonstration stream. So actually, there's a new sheep farm being built close to Clarington in that area. And he's going to be installing 8 of those feeders. And we're going to kind of try it out on a commercial practice and see how it works and see if we can make it as successful in a commercial setting as I could in my teaching research setting.
Very cool.
So I think I'm pretty excited about it.
So, Paul, zooming out to a big picture view, what do you see as the biggest nutritional challenges facing sheep farmers today, and how is your research aiming to address those challenges?
I think a big challenge is managing nutrition efficiently. I think that would be the biggest one. I think a lot of people know how to get their lambs to grow quickly. I know people know how to feed their lambs, but not necessarily the most cost-effectively. And so I've tried to challenge the conventional systems and challenge them with some more cost-effective ideas. And in some cases, the conventional system is the best. In other cases, we've been able to find things that are able to maybe be a little bit better. And so I guess that's what I'm always trying to do, is find there's got to be an easier way. There's got to be a more cost-effective way. How can we bring this in and just try to challenge some of the status quo on how we have to do things?
Interesting. So in some of your recent work that you've done on feed efficiency or alternative feed sources for sheep, are there some key findings you can share with our producers?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, some of the interesting things besides this OAFRI project that I have going on, I actually haven't received funding since before COVID. So it's getting a little bit older, some of that research I did, but I did a really cool project. I had a grad student, her name is Katie Trache, on that. And what we were looking at is acidosis in lambs. One of the things I found that was very interesting is there's a recommendation in the literature about how much fiber sheep need in order to stay healthy. And I did some digging, and I found out actually this was never done on sheep. It was done on beef calves, and they just assumed it was the same for sheep. So I wanted to find out what it was for sheep. And so we did a project where we were looking at acidosis with different levels of grain. And my grad student came up with a really cool equation that actually predicts the amount of time a lamb is going to spend in ruminal acidosis based on the amount of starch in the diet. And so we can actually get a pretty accurate prediction of that, how much acidosis. And I think this will really help nutritionists and producers if we can then make sure we set up diets where the animals are not going to be hindered. The rumens are not going to be hindered by digestion. And also that replacement ewes, that we don't damage their rumens and livers and so forth, because we can keep them in a healthy state. So I think that's kind of the biggest, coolest thing I've done recently. There's some other projects. I'm really happy with some of the replacement feeds, like with distillers grains. We did some of the early work on feeding distillers grains. Corn cob meal, that's one I would say is probably the one that was the biggest winner in terms of cost-effective way to feed lambs. That was a really cool project we did a number of years ago. So I would say those would be kind of some of the highlights of what we did.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. So Paul, we understand that your work often involves evaluating different feeding management practices. What are some of the most promising practices that you've observed for optimizing sheep nutrition?
Yeah, so I think we have to be careful when we're optimizing sheep too. Let's talk specifically about lambs, because that's where I've done most of my research. And I was just mentioning, the one that came out as a very clear winner was corn cob meal. That's ensiled corn cob meal. Now, of course, I think you'd have to be a little bit of a larger producer to make that work, because you have to keep the feed fresh. If you don't move enough of it a day, it's going to start getting spoiled. But I was able to get really, really cost-effective gains on those lambs. And the other one tied to that is actually feeding distillers grains. I would argue at this point in time, if you're feeding soybean meal, you're probably feeding too expensive feed to those market lambs. We can do it very cost-effectively with distillers grains. So another one there's a convention out there that sheep have to eat oats and barley. So we did a trial with the lambs, and we fed them with just corn instead of oats and barley. And again, we were able to do it very cost effectively and very efficiently. So I would say some of those are the big projects that I did. Early one we did was a corn silage feeding. And we found that high levels of corn silage just are not cost effective. The lambs just can't digest it fast enough to make it work. And so I think that lower levels, less than 25% corn silage in the diet, does work. But, depending on your feeding system, it might be just easy not to do it at all. And certainly I don't feed any corn silage here at the college to my sheep at all.
Okay. Switching over to environmental sustainability, do you incorporate environmental sustainability into your research on sheep nutrition, and what benefits can farmers see from these sustainable practices?
Yeah, so I mean, the environmental sustainability is a very, very broad umbrella. So I guess for me, like, the relationship between growth rate and feed efficiency has been very well documented. The faster they grow, the more efficiently they grow, the less feed they have. And so if I can get sheep to grow quickly and efficiently, I'm decreasing the amount of feed you have to put into them, which means you have to plant less feed, harvest less feed, or buy less feed. All of these will turn into environmental sustainability as well. The other interesting thing is there has actually been research elsewhere that shows that grain feeding does decrease, for example, greenhouse gas emissions and so forth. So as we learn how to use these grains, these feeds more cost effectively, I think we can have an overall improvement on environmental sustainability in sheep nutrition.
Mm-hmm. On the technology front, what role do you see technology playing in improving sheep nutrition management? And are there any particular tools or innovations that you're excited about?
Well, I've kind of already showed my cards on that a little bit. I really do believe that technology is a place. I think that technology is getting to the point where we are going to be able to feed our sheep way more accurately, with way more precision. As a matter of fact, I would say even with these electronic cell feeders, these electronic feeders that I'm using for feeding the sheep now, I believe I can actually feed the sheep more accurately than I know how to. I think the technology has gone ahead of actually our ability to feed them. I'm really excited about some of that technology. Dr. Golden says he did some research out in Alberta. I know Ontario sheep farmers were part of that as well, where he was learning how to predict litter size from a blood sample at 50 days. And to me, all I think about is if he can get that technology done so that we can do it animal side, if we can do an animal side test and predict litter size, then with these feeders that I have, I can actually feed the ewe exactly how much feed she needs. You got a single, you get this much feed. You got twins, you get a little bit more. You got triplets, you get a little more. So we can do away with these really, really big lambs that are hard to get out, which cause all sorts of lambing difficulties. But I can also do away with all these little lambs because I'm not feeding these triplets and quadruplets enough. I can feed them more feed and get some more groceries into them. So this is the beauty, I think, of technology is when a new technology comes, whether it's that technology of predicting litter size or these feeders, all of a sudden you can see how they can marry together and we can become even better yet, right? We can become even more accurate yet, and we can feed these animals to their very, very specific requirements. So am I excited about it? Yeah, I think the opportunities are growing. I think as new technologies come around, we can start trying them out and pulling them into the industry as well. And I think that this is going to be a very exciting future.
So how are you doing it now? If it's not based on the litter size, how are you? I know that you said that it's not, you know, a perfect science, but I am curious about how you're figuring out the ration now.
So what I do is if it's a first time lamber, I assume I'm going to get one or two lambs and then I feed her a certain amount. And if she's older, I assume she's going to give me two or three lambs or four. And so I feed her as if she's giving me 2.5 lambs or three lambs. Actually, I think it's at 3 lambs. So I make the calculation based on 3 lambs. So I do run into trouble now. If I do have an older lamb, you who gives me one, it's usually a very big lamb.
Yeah.
And so then actually that gives me the grounds. Once I wean that ewe, I cull her then. If she doesn't give me more lambs at that point in time, then I just cull her out.
Okay. So are you doing it based on their genetics as well? Like, are you tracking like parental lines and...
And I'm selecting my replacements. I do that. I'm selecting for larger and larger weaning litter sizes.
Okay.
So it's basically the number of lambs that were weaned by that ewe that gives her, yep, I like her. I'm going to use her lambs as replacement lambs. And the other thing I've been really selecting for, and at first I was just trying to grow my flock size. And so I was basically keeping almost everybody. And now I'm becoming much more, you don't get pregnant when I breed you, you're gone. And so I'm finding that my reproduction is really improving now and my litter sizes are evening out. I'm getting less variability in my litter sizes. Now I'm getting one or two in the first, and I'll usually get, I probably average about, depending on that, because I breed 2 times a year. When I'm in season, I'll average 3 lambs out of the older girls. Out of season, then I'll usually average a little, 2 or slightly less than 2 during that time.
Yes, because you're trying to hold that flock size at 50 ewes now.
Yes. Yeah. So now I can be a little bit more selective. I would say out of every group, I maybe keep 3 or 4 ewes back and then the rest gets marketed now. And then I like I say, I cull probably about 10% of the flock a year or so is what I land up getting rid of. So
And so now when you're going to the commercial application of this technology, what do you have to think about when you're scaling it and you're trying to think about what the ewes are going to get in their ration?
Well, so a lot of commercial farmers feed GMRs, right? And I don't. I feed just dry hay and grain. That's all they get. And so with a TMR, like one of the things you always have to challenge when you're feeding a TMR is you have to decide, who am I going to feed in my flock? Am I going to feed my best, which means my worst are going to get overfed, or do I feed the average, in which case my best are not getting fed enough? And so one of the places where I can see this technology working with a TMR is set the TMR to feed kind of the bottom third of the sheep and use this as a top dresser to feed everybody else extra feed.
Oh, interesting.
Right?
Yep.
So I can use this technology with in a commercial flock. It would be a different application than how I'm doing it. And theoretically, this is what I don't know. This is where I start stumbling is, how many ewes can I feed, right? If I'm feeding ewes 100% of the time, like where I feed, they get a lot of grain, like in my system, I think I know how many sheep I can do, but I don't really know that yet, right? But if I'm feeding it where they're only getting a quarter of their feed or a third of their feed, can I feed two or three times more sheep with one feeder? These are some of the things I want to play with on this commercial farm and find out how can we make this work? How can we get this to work efficiently and for them? Yes.
So interesting. I'm so excited for this one. Are there any other projects that you're working on that you've got planned for the future?
Well, I'm trying to get a project going on creep feeding lambs, actually. So I found this very small project that was done in the States where they took either like a commercial creep feed or just the grain that the ewes are eating, and they use that as a creep feed. And what they found is that weaning, the ones that got the creep feed were larger, but if you actually penciled out the cost of that extra gain that they had, it was very expensive. And what they didn't do, unfortunately, which to me they had to have done, is follow those lambs right through to market. Because if these lambs that are eating the ewe feed are behind, but they can easily catch up, then I'm all for going to a cheaper creep feed. If they never catch up, if they just don't never get to that point where they would have been, and they can't do so cost effectively, well, then the creep feed wins, right? And so I'd really like to do a project where we try a few different creep feed systems. The other thing is when we're feeding our replacement ewes, we have to be careful we don't feed them too much from about week 4 to about week 20. Otherwise, they get fat deposits in their mammary glands, which decreases milk production. Well, that's the time when we're creep feeding, right? And so how do we manage that? So I have a treatment I want to try with that as well, where I actually just tone down the creep feed a little bit and see, can the market lambs catch up later? If they can, perfect. If they can't, well, then we have a problem, right? Then we're back to the old problem where we might be overfeeding some of our replacement ewes a little bit and stuff like that. So I think that the creep feed is a big expense. Yes, they're only getting it for a little bit of time, but it is a very expensive feed. And if we can come up with a more cost-effective way to do it, that sets the lamb up for future success, right? That's what it's really all about, is set the lamb up for future success, and let's measure that success. Let's know what that success is. And even if it's not as successful, at least we know what the cost of that decrease is, and we can decide whether that's cost-effective to do or not, right? So I think that we could do a better job of understanding that area. So I have a project that I would like to do in that as well. That would be another area that I'd like to work in.
Mm-hmm. That sounds very promising. In terms of the, you know, wider world of sheep farming as a whole, what are some key areas of sheep research that you think will have the most impact on the industry?
So this would be a very costly project, but I think we need to start thinking a little bit about improving our estimates of what nutrient requirements are for sheep. I think the numbers that we have are so far behind what our animals are genetically doing. And I think I can even prove that with my data. What I can't do is I can't tell you what is the right number. Where is the right place to be at? And it's a little bit of a wild west out there right now with people estimating, including myself. estimating where I think we should be feeding our animals. And because the tables that we have, the nutrient requirement tables and so forth, I think are dated. That would be a massive project to do a whole nutrition research. I think that would have to be a collaboration with several places to put something like together. I think we're getting to the point where our sheep are different enough now from what they were, that this is something that we have to start thinking seriously about. But other than that, it's just, you know, looking at what new technologies are out there, how can we bring that in, right? This one was used in the swine industry, and we were able to pull it in. What's out there in other industries? What are other things, technologies that we can pull in and take advantage of some of the background work that's been done and make them be successful here? I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity. With the advance of artificial intelligence, even, right? There's how can we use that? How can we pull that in and start using that to improve our sheep nutrition and sheep, like our feeding our sheep? I think there's just a pile of opportunity. I am really interested in seeing how this work that Dr. Ali Goldensass did on this metabolic markers to detect litter size. I'm really excited to see where that goes. So that could be just a powerful, powerful tool that we can really start controlling, understanding, so we don't get into situations of pregnancy toxemia, because we know what's going on and we can feed accordingly. So those are some of the areas I would say that I would say are exciting and opportunities. One thing I think I have to be careful about is we can also do some research that's just kind of more, you know, feed them and weigh them. Let's find out, how does this particular feed work, right? What are the feeds that the farmers are saying they want to know about? How does this feed work? How does that feed work? Well, let's get some data, get some good numbers so we can actually show people so they can know rather than guess on how well it's going.
All good ideas. Thanks so much, Paul, for your expertise, for sharing it with us today. And thanks for joining us on Flock Talk.
Really enjoyed it. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Join us next Wednesday for our interview with Patricia Ellingwood, General Manager of the Ontario Forage Council.
It was great to see everyone at the district annual meetings in August and September. Thank you to all the district committee members for your hard work organizing the meetings, and for those who volunteered as delegates and district committee members for the coming year. If you missed the Ontario Sheep Farmers update at your district annual meeting, we have recorded the presentation and it is on our OSF YouTube channel at youtube.com/OntarioSheep. The presentation highlights the projects we've completed in 2023-24 and the priorities of the organization for the coming year. We hope you enjoy it.
Join us for the Ultimate Ontario Sheep Convention and AGM on October 25th and 26th, 2024 at the Cambridge Hotel Conference Center. This year's theme is Unlocking Profit Potential, and we've got a new format. The AGM kicks off Friday afternoon, followed by a banquet that evening. The convention continues Saturday with keynote speaker Dr. Mark Ferguson from NextGen Agra, and we'll have two satellite locations this year in Eastern Ontario and Northern Ontario. Register by October 2nd for early bird pricing. Don't miss out. Visit OntarioSheep.org/2024AGM to secure your spot.